This morning, time flies. Today is already May 1st. There's only 8 more months left in this year. The weather become better and better. Before we get to the point today, we must first determine a very important truth, because today the message of the sermon is recognize the true offering. Recognize the true offering is the main message of today's sermon. Before we get to the point today, we must first determine a very important truth. That is, who are all the devotees of God's children? The object of our offering is the one true God we worship. So the next question is whether this Almighty God needs our money? Of course not, because the whole universe belongs to Him. God says there is a destiny. It will stand. He simply doesn't need human beings' money to buy anything. So when we are clear about this one dedicated truth, we divide today's message into two perspectives. Number one, it's about the devotion and offering of money and possessions. Number two, the other hand, is talking about the truth of our life offering. Again, the object our offering is the one true God we worship. The whole universe belongs to Him. God really doesn't need human beings' money to buy anything. So, two perspectives. The first perspective is about the devotion and offering of our money and possessions. The number two is about dedicate our life to God. First, the beginning, we begin with the financial offering. And we all know that in the Old Testament time, there were 12 tribes of Israel in the Old Testament time. God single-handedly chose the tribe of Leviticus as a priest to serve the temple. Then the Old Testament time, Levites could not buy houses nor land. So how could Levites live when they serve God in the temple full time? So God, in order to take care of their lives, God of the offerings and a gift to Levites. The first aspect of the one-tenth of the offering appears in Genesis chapter 14, verse 17 to 20. Again, at the very beginning, the idea of a one-tenth tithe of the offering appears in Genesis chapter 14, verse 17 to 20. After Abram returned from defeating Chedorlaomer, and the king's allied with him, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Shava, that is the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought and the bread and the wine. He was priest of God Most High. And he blessed Abram, saying, "Blessed be Abram, by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth." And the priest to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand, then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. So this message talks about Abraham's willingness to dedicate and offer one-tenth to Melchizedek, the priest of God. In other words, in Abraham's heart, Melchizedek's identity and status as a priest was recognized. That was the very first Bible verses Bible mentioned about one-tenth tithe. Now let's look at the book of Psalms, chapter 110, verse 4 to 5. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. The Lord's at your right hand, he will crush kings on the day of his wrath. So, let's look at again the Psalm chapter 110, verse 4 to 5. And pay attention, pay special attention to what is said in verse 4. That is that Jesus Christ is the priest forever according to Melchizedek's rank. In fact, the status of Jesus Christ far exceeded that of Melchizedek, because Jesus Christ is the only precious son of God. As we read Hebrews, we understand that Jesus Christ now sits at the right hand of the Father and a priest for us. He is our eternal high priest. We praise the Lord. So from the Old Testament to New Testament, we study the book of Hebrews. We know the truth. Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of the Father and a priest for us. And Jesus Christ far exceeded that of Melchizedek, because Jesus Christ is the forever God's one and only precious son. Melchizedek was the only high priest on earth, but Jesus Christ is the one and only precious son of a most high God. Again, Jesus Christ now sits at the right hand side of the Father and priest for us. Every single day, every single moment, Jesus Christ is praying for us. So the object, our prayer, is our heavenly Abba Father on the heaven. But because of Jesus Christ's precious cross, it is the bridge. Through Jesus Christ's precious cross, we can come to our Heavenly Father. So Heavenly Father can listen to our prayers. So when we pray, we say, by Jesus Christ's name. Why not say by the Heavenly Father's name? Why not say by the Holy Spirit's name? Because we say by Jesus Christ's name, because Jesus Christ is the bridge. He's sitting up at that right-hand side of Father in heaven, and he's still continually praying for us. Jesus Christ is our high priest forever, no matter on earth or on heaven. So we say, by Jesus Christ's name, through this bridge, when we pray. So all the brothers and sisters' prayers could be heard by the Heavenly Father. Hopefully I said it clearly. Praise the Lord. Now we come back to the truth about one-tenth tithe offerings. This issue has sparked a lot of discussions in many different churches. For the New Testament church, how much should God's children offer to God? A lot of people have different discussions. Again, the object we offer to is our Heavenly Father, is the Heavenly Father loves us so much. Some church feel that one-tenth should be offered. Their basis is that the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 10. The book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and say, if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven. So, brother and sister, if you're not familiar with this verse, who is talking at the beginning? God. God was talking. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there will be food in my house. Test me in this, say the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessings that will not be room enough to store it. The Lord Almighty says, if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessings that there will not be room enough to store it. Brothers and sisters, think about these Bible verses. When the Almighty God said those words, what did He really mean? A lot of people say, for the entire Bible, only this part talk about tithe, 110. Say, test your God. Only this one point in the entire Bible said, see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. It's not anybody said. It is Almighty God, Almighty Lord said it. Because the nature of God is faithful. Whatever God says, He will make it happen. So we need to understand the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 10. So the faithful Christian really followed the rule and offered the one-tenth tithe, just like what God asked us to do so. And some people even offer two-tenths. So if you don't believe, watch the TV station called The Good News. You can see all sorts of testimonies. And those are real experiences. Real things happened. But in the context of the Old Testament book of Malachi, we need to understand that God's people at that time were so sinful. And they give some broken and sick cattle and sheep to God, which was perfunctory, mentally sick. Not only that, but they lived in their own homes with luxury. And some people simply forgot to offer to God's temple. It's just that they want to mess around. And what's worse even than that is that they still refuse to admit their sin. This terrible attitude is very displeased by God. See, again, they refuse to admit their sin. This terrible attitude is very displeased by God. God is very displeased. The book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 8 to 9. Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me? But you ask, how are we robbing you in tithes and offerings? You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Well, that's a lot. When I read this Bible verse, my heart was shaking because God was angry. The people refused to offer and not admit their sins. Those are God's stuff. Why you're robbing the God? Why you're robbing God's stuff? And do not admit their sin. Did not admit their sin. Their attitude was terrible. Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. The whole nation did that. They were so corrupted. They were so corrupted. From the top high, the king, the governors, down to everyone in their nation, they robbed God. So the curse was down to them. When human beings do not worship God and have those terrible attitude, they are under a curse. The whole nation. At that time, the curse came down to everyone in the Malachi time. We need to pay attention to the inner attitude we have toward God. So what God wants us to do, we need to have a faith to God. So we need to have a clear understanding about this. So now we return to the point we're going to discuss, which is the good and willing offering to God that should be given to God. We find the fact that from ancient times to the present times has never happened a problem, has never been a problem in life because someone has offered a lot to God. No, absolutely not. If people offer a lot, then they will be so hungry to death. Never happened, never happened. Because what God values is the attitude of relying on and trusting in God in the whole human being heart, especially in a society where everyone pursues material luxury. God wants God's children to learn not to rely on money, but by the Lord. Again, in this society where everyone pursues material luxury, God wants God's children to learn not to depend on the power of money, but to depend on and trust in the Lord. Put the Lord as the first priority in our life. Faithful to God and praise the Lord. That's what Lord be happy if we have this kind of attitude. When someone is very rich, and the problem for us in this world right now is when a person has a lot of money, a lot of power, and he thinks that he can get things done by relying on the power of people, power of money, but this is not the case in God's eyes. No wonder the psalmist reminds us that some people lean on the car, some people lean on the horse, but we have to mention Joab's name. What does it mean that some people rely on their horses to show how they are very powerful in the world, but as a God's children, they should rely on God wholeheartedly. God is to cultivate our absolute faith in God. When we understand this truth as to how much to give, please decide for yourself. So even in the New Testament church, some people claim to give one-tenth to God. So the question arises again, has anyone asked whether it is one-tenth before tax or one-tenth after tax? It's funny to think about that, right? In fact, does God look at our hearts? I know some of the brothers and sisters who offer more than two-tenths. This raises another question, which is, why does the loving and the gracious God want us to offer him the money? Is the reason simple? He is looking at us for the greatness of our heart. Or do we rely solely on money and possessions? Do you remember the Lord Jesus sitting in the temple in the New Testament time to watch people's offerings? So look at the book of Psalm, chapter 27, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Again, the Psalm, chapter 27, verse 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Now, let's look at a chapter. Let's look at the book of Mark, chapter 12, verse 41 to 44 in the New Testament. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all give out of their wealth, but she, out of the poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." So we see a clear contrast, especially a poor widow who threw in just the two small copper coins, but the Lord Jesus praised her. For what reason? The Lord Jesus praised the widow for her faith in God. If you think about it, if she gave all the savings to God, will God take care of her in the rest of her life? Of course, God will. Pay attention to verse 43. It was the Lord Jesus who called his disciples to tell them this fact. The Lord Jesus is going to teach his disciples faith in God. And as disciples of the Lord, they should have complete faith in the Lord. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others." The Lord Jesus praised the widow for her faith in God. If you think about it, if she gave all the savings to God, will God take care of her in the rest of her life? Of course God will. Of course God will take care of. The Lord Jesus is also teaching his disciples the faith in God. Teach the disciples they should have complete faith on the Lord. After we trust in our God, the entire life, our life path is walking in the faith toward the Lord, walking the faith toward the Lord. You need to go forward, not keep standing at the same place. If you are not move forward, you are going backward. So, as a pastor, I encourage you. Our spiritual life, you need to let it keep growing. If you do not let it grow, you are going backward. Because God wants us to keep growing our spiritual life. God truly wants us to keep growing our spiritual life. More faith, stronger faith. Only one of the signs is how we offer. That can see your spiritual life conditions. So some people said, hey, 1/10 tithe. Other people, it says, when you offer, it has to be willingly offer. So I just said that there are some people who advocate offering 1/10 tithe. But some others advocate that it is important to give willingly according to the New Testament words. The second book of Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 7, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Again, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, but reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. If you give and you feel like, oh, I'm giving too much, then God don't want your money. If you are willing to offer, then that's the right thing to do. Again, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. God do not really just need your money. You need to be a cheerful giver. Speaking of this, our focus is not solely on the amount of money itself, but on understanding our character as a person who dedicates ourselves to God. The content of a life is a very important. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 15, verse 8. Let's look at the book of Proverbs, chapter 15, verse 8. The Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright pleases him. So the sacrifice of the wicked was hated by Jehovah. In today's term, the book of Proverbs, chapter 15, verse 8, the Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright pleases him. We want to be the upright people. When the people who is upright pray to God, God will be pleased. The Lord detests the sacrifices of the wicked. In today's example, nowadays, if a gangster boss, he does a lot of bad things, but he also offers like huge amount of money, $6 million to the church. Even he give a lot of money to the church, the offerings like this is abhorrent by God. God is not happy. God detests his offering because God focused on the person, the person's character, nature when they offer. So God, please help us understand the truth of the offerings. The first perspective talk about 1/10 tithes of the financial offering. The second part talk about we need to offer our life, our all, our inside characters, our nature to God. That's very important. Now let's look at the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 23-24. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. Leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. So if you have some problem with some brothers and sisters, do not offer the gift. Do not offer. Reconcile with your brothers and sisters. Take care of that thing first. Just put the gift at the altar. Then reconcile with the brothers and sisters. Make it good. Make it well. Then offer. God, pay attention to our inside character. Be humble and apologize for others. Say sorry to others. Before I misunderstood you, I did it wrong. Take care of that issue, then come back. Come back to the altar, then offer to God. That's what Jesus Christ gave us a teaching, instructs. That's what Jesus Christ instructs us to do so. What God values is the holiness of our whole being. God wants us So let's move on to the second perspective of today's message. That is about dedication of our lives. The book of Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. That is your truth and proper worship. So let's look at that. The book of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says that it is natural for us to serve as a living sacrifice when we offer our bodies. So we see that the importance of the order of a precedence. Again, it is important to serve as a living sacrifices when we offer our bodies. So we see that the importance of the order of a precedence. That's what God wants us to do. Hopefully, I describe it clearly. When God values is the holiness, our whole being, God wants to teach us to truly rely on God from within. So to dedicate our bodies, meaning the whole human body and mind, to God as a living crisis, to serve God well. That is God's whole life of a dedication. Speaking of this, we must think more deeply about an important truth. That is, even our life is given to us by God. And we Chinese often say that we did not bring money and wealth when we were born, and we cannot bring with us the money and the wealth when we die. So with a grateful heart, we should be willing to dedicate our own lives completely in God's eternal kingdom and do not mind no matter how much money and the treasure we offer to God. As long as you are willing to offer, it is acceptable to God. So when we think of the cross of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus sacrificed his life completely for our sake, do we still have to mind for a little money to offer to God? Of course not. Excuse me. When we think about it, the cross of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ sacrificed his life completely for our sake. How do we still mind how much money we offer to God? Of course not. Thank God that the brothers and sisters in our church have done well in the truth of the offerings and put into practice. We need to be cheerful giver for the sake of the gospel, for save human being's soul. Of course, the church is also should be very careful to spend the money of offering, because those are the money of God's kingdom. Our church, brother and sister, have done well in the truth of offering and put into practice. We ask the Lord to continue to lead us. And the most important, let us rely on Lord's faith to be stronger and stronger, and our love to commemorate the missionaries in their offering, in our offerings, because they need our help in the extreme lack. We not only pray for them, but also give them the money and the goods they need. Thank you, Lord. I know our church is bound to thrive tremendously, for we are all walking according to the truth of the Bible. So what is today's topic? Truly understand what is offering. Believe you have received the full spectrum of the truth about the whole offering. Again, today's sermon's message is recognize the true offering. Recognize the true offering. I believe that you have received the full spectrum of the truth about the whole offering. Let's pray with our united hearts. Our dear Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you. Thank you for bless us to have the breath of a life. Thank you for bless us to have your one and only precious Son, Jesus Christ. Every time we think about your cross, we are so thankful. We all want to be willingly offer, be the cheerful givers. Please, please be pleased and happy with our offerings. Please bless us with the spiritual wisdom from the temporary point we can see the eternal life. Let us be the wise investors. Let us invest in your forever kingdom. Use those money to save more souls. Please bless next Sunday. It will be the Mother's Day. Let brothers and sisters grab the opportunities of a Mother's Day celebration. Willingly to invite more people, more friends to come to our church to worship together, so people can hear your great news, can enjoy the warmness of this big family, our church. We give all the glories to you, Lord. We pray in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.